Hello, Red Shirts, and welcome to another episode of Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today I want to talk about what is going on here at Follow Me and Die Studios. I fell silent on the publishing of regular episodes with the adventures of my Sunday game, and I'll get back to that soon. So I decided to keep running my Sunday game rather than to go on a hiatus during my busy time of year, which is December and January. And this was the first year that I've done that, and in some ways I feel like I'm a better GM for pressing on and maintaining regular play. And I still put as much effort into it as when it isn't my busy time of year at work. Along with that, I've been using campaignwiki.org to keep a record of my campaign, and I've been doing that for quite some time now, and it is only player-facing information that's out there. And after each session, I write a summary and update the crosslinks on that right after the session while it's still fresh in my mind. And depending on how many crosslinks are needed, it can take a while. And then I copy each new page and updated page to a backup wiki that I keep using Joplin, which is a free open source alternative to Evernote, and I'll have a link to both of those in the show notes. And I've got Joplin set up to synchronize with my Dropbox so I can keep a copy on my PC, my phone, and my tablet all in sync. I didn't start using Joplin for that purpose until I had quite a lot on the Campaign Wiki site. So while all the contents in Joplin, all the crosslinks are not there, just on the newer articles. And then on the Campaign Wiki, I've got a section where the players can add their own version of the session, and I give them XP for a summary. I also give them XP for writing a page about their character and then adding other information to the wiki. And then every session, I make a new handout in Roll20 with the session number, the real-world game date, the in-game date, links to the session in Campaign Wiki and other player documents in Roll20, and then it includes a quick recap of the prior session, XP awards from last session in case people didn't see it from the Discord, XP award channel, and other housekeeping things before play starts. And then when the session's done, I do the write-up. I add the write-up for that session to the session handout in Roll20. And then I add that Roll20 session write-up, or that Roll20 session document, to a session calendar, which is a separate handout that links back to all the different session handouts that has the real-world date and the game date of each of those sessions. So it's easy to go back within Roll20 and see what we did when. And then I make the handout for the next session, copy over what needs to be carried over, update the dates and other information. And then I move the handout for the session that just ended to a folder with all the other past sessions. Under that folder, I've got subfolders for different main sections of adventure. I guess they would be campaigns within my world, but it's still all the same players and mostly the same PCs. Along with that, I've also been working to build tools to help automate things and make my game prep and running the game quicker. You probably know I'm a big fan of Roll20. But it is hard to have multiple sheets open for all the different NPCs, session notes, and so forth. And I do have two screens, but something always gets minimized on a background that's the same color as the thing that's minimized, and it's really hard to see it. Or I accidentally close something I didn't mean to close, and I end up not being able to find it as soon as I need it during play, which is very frustrating. I've decided it's less confusing and less clutter on the screen, which leads to fewer things getting lost, to instead rely on handwritten notes and cards for NPCs and monsters. I was doing my best to try to keep it all in Roll20, and while Roll20 can keep all the information, trying to get at it when I need it and not misplace it is the trick. In addition to that, I've got spreadsheets that have different tables, and I can either roll a die on Roll20 and consult that spreadsheet, or I can roll a real die. And some of those spreadsheets I've actually automated to give random information, and those help, especially with prep and sometimes in game. I also built a PowerShell script that lets me generate ruins from a ruins table I built in a past YouTube video. And these ruins are monuments. So I guess it's more of a monuments table, but I can generate one or more monuments in just a couple seconds. And I actually used that this last session. The players didn't go there, but I had it all ready to go if they did go there. And that was very handy because it just has bullet points of descriptors that would help me easily be able to riff on that without having a lot of prep. And then I've got a spreadsheet in Google Sheets that will let me generate as many hexes as I want for the hex contents of is there something there or not. I intend to build a similar one that will actually generate the hex as to terrain and all that other stuff and speed that up even more. And I seem to be on a kick of just building more and more tools to fill gaps that make it easier to do game prep or to make online play quicker and more seamless. That was really helpful with that monument generator last session when I had things all ready to go in just a couple of seconds without having to pre-plan it. The thing I like about the random results is it helps me out by avoiding making too many similar things, because if you are doing everything by hand, it can get to the point where a lot of things feel the same, and this ensures nothing is the same. And as I improve my scripting skills, I find that making the script that I can run out of Roll20 is definitely quicker, and it's less likely to get lost on the screen. So I have a lot fewer screens open in Roll20, and that makes it a lot simpler. Also, I'm trying to focus more on theater of the mind for everything, which that means a lot less prep for all the Roll20 maps and coming up with all the different tokens for all the different things they might encounter. I like that less prep, although I still do quite a lot of prep. As I've mentioned in other episodes, I use the programmable text editor Notepad. It has its own scripting language. That programmable text editor is one of my secrets for how I'm able to be so productive at my day job. As long as I've got that, I can do a lot of things and find things, and it's really handy. I use it a lot for personal stuff as well. Last week, I used my script that I built after mentioning the prior week that I was going to build a script to open up all my AD&D PDFs. The players thought that was a big deal. It really wasn't, and so I used that as great. I ran the script, and it opened up the Dungeon Master's Guide, the Monster Manual, Monster Manual 2, and the Player's Handbook, so I had all those PDFs ready to go. And I didn't have to go do each one separately. And then I've got other scripts to open up the different directories where I have my tiny collection of PowerShell scripts and other directories with other information. And it's only been in like the last 3 or 4 weeks that some of this has started to come together. And it made things very smooth last week. But the one downside is that while I'm using all these online generators to name a bunch of places on a map that players bought in a big city, I didn't really come up with any real points to distinguish the city from any place else they've ever been. And the players asked all kinds of great questions that good players ask, like, what is interesting about this city, or what is there to do here? All simple questions, but I had not come up with those simple bits of information in any form of an outline about what's different about that city and a couple of large towns from any other place they'd ever been. Because I'd spent too much time building tools to help me run games and prep for sessions, that I didn't spend enough time on fleshing out things in my world that I knew were going to come up. And it seems like my biggest problem as a game master is that I get focused on something and I go down a rabbit hole, and I come out the other side with great ideas, usually some new tool to help things get easier to either prep the game or run the game or both. But then there's not enough actual prep on the things that should be obvious to be preparing for. And that's my constant struggle. And more than once, I've realized that I had a thought to prep something at the conclusion of a session to get ready for the next session. And when it comes up in the next session, I realized that I either forgot to make a note about it, or if I did note it, I didn't do it for some reason, like I didn't put the note where I would get reminded. And then I'm always starting a new project, it seems like. A new project I started and announced a couple weeks ago is I'm working on a comprehensive spreadsheet of equipment, because players are always wanting to know, hey, what about this? What about that? And just having a list of the different things, make it available to your players. It lets them see all the different possibilities, and they may think of something they hadn't thought of. It also helps me know that there's a resource that I can share with my players or I can use to help with game preparation. So what I did was I went through all the PDFs of all the RPGs I've got and copied down their equipment lists, and my intent is to identify the usual stuff players ask about, plus maybe stuff they didn't think to ask about, and just to make sure something that's on one of those different equipment lists is on this master list, then I can come up with a price for it for my game using the AD&D equipment list as a guide. And the idea is to have it in both a PDF and a spreadsheet form so the game masters can modify it. And another thought I had to add to that is to build a coin conversion formula to help speed the conversion of coins if you're not using a decimal system, for example. Because in AD&D, it's not a decimal system. It's not hard, but it would be nice to be able to plug in a number and not have to spend too much time thinking about it or grab a calculator to do the same thing. You can just plug in the number and you're done, knowing how many silver equals how many gold and that sort of thing. And I have offered my players experience points if they can suggest items that are not on my working spreadsheet, and then I'll give them, in addition to the XP, a mention in the final PDF and a free copy of that PDF whenever I get that done. One of the recent spreadsheets I built kind of illustrates part of my problem was something to calculate how much time spellcasters need in AD&D to rest and relearn spells. And so I built something that includes each spellcaster in my campaign, and then I shared it with the players so that they could see that. And it's not earth-shattering, and I didn't necessarily need to do it, but it was one of those itches that if I just scratched it, then I'd quit thinking about it. But it was rather eye-opening to see how much time higher-level spellcasters need to rest and relearn spells, because at a certain point, you need more than a day just to rest and relearn spells. Not that much rest, but then you have to spend over a day of relearning. Well, you're going to have to... That's just amazing, that much time is spent. And of course, there goes my phone in the middle of that. Oh well, I don't know that that'll get edited out. We'll find out. And I finally passed 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. And that's really cool. So now I've met the current minimums for monetization, all before they change the rules again. Because last time I met the minimum was just a few weeks after they changed the rules again. So, and the way they changed the rules, it didn't matter if you got grandfathered in. If you didn't meet the minimum, you got demonetized until you could meet the minimum again, which is 1,000 subs and like 4,000 minutes of watch time, I think. I recorded and edited a thank you video, and I recorded another video and uploaded it, was it last week or the week before, on my Roll20 for the Absolute Beginner series. And my current PC can do the job of recording and editing videos, but it just really bogs down, even with the recording and then especially the editing. And it just takes forever. And then the rendering, it just takes far too long for a 15-minute video. It shouldn't take an hour to render. So I've ordered the parts for a new PC, and I was getting ready to build it and going over what's arrived because I thought all was here, but unfortunately, the hard drive and the RAM that I ordered is going to be the last to arrive. Those are coming from the same place, and they should be here on Monday, so boo-hoo, I've got to wait a few days to build this thing. But with a new PC that has a much better CPU, a lot more RAM, and a much more capable video card, and not the CPU and GPU I hope for, but they are a lot newer and a lot better than what I have now, so I should be able to run the latest version of HitFilm Express, which is the free video editing software I use, and it's got all kinds of bells and whistles, and they've got stuff you can buy to add on if you decide to. And if I have this new computer built and do it right, it will make it a lot easier to get out videos, and so I'll be more likely to get more videos out. And finally, last week I announced that I'm planning to finally do my card game Kickstarter in May. That is, if upcoming changes at the day job don't put a wrench in things. My busy time at work is getting to an end, but I'm still digging my way out of all the projects that got backed up while we were so busy, and I'm still putting in overtime. Thankfully, it's paid overtime, but I don't want to work overtime. I want to have enough time and energy to work on all my projects in the evenings. If I have to wait till the weekend to do things, then I've got to squeeze everything in with my errands and other real-life things that I have to do every weekend, plus game prep for Sunday's game, and then Sunday's game, that kind of takes up that day, so I don't get anything done other than playing the game and updating my notes in preparation for next week's game. And I really hate the feeling that I have to stop everything but one thing. And obviously, I can only work on one thing at a time and give it my focus, but I can realistically have multiple projects going so that I can switch between them. But working on the card game to finalize it for Kickstarter, that's going to take a big chunk of time because there are certain things have to be finalized before launch. Because if I'm going to do a Kickstarter, I want it to be done, except for running the Kickstarter, any stretch goals that fit within the theme of the Kickstarter, because I want delivery to happen by November so it doesn't interfere with my busy time at work that starts ramping up in November. However, the upcoming changes at work may throw a big wrench in the idea of a Kickstarter this year, and I may have to pivot to something else. Of course, it was after I announced that I was going to do that my boss came to me about this upcoming change at work. I don't want to make any more changes. I'm getting at that age where I want the kind of changes I want to make, not what other things happen. I mean, it should be a good opportunity at work and all this stuff, but it's going to take energy and focus, and it's not a done deal, and it's not going to happen for a while, but I've been stressing about all the work that is still there. I seem to perpetually have 30 tickets in my name, and I close tickets, but I ended up taking enough more that I still have 30 by the end of the day, so it doesn't feel like I'm getting anywhere. It's like I'm going up a down escalator, and the down escalator is faster than I can go up, and so I maybe get halfway, and I'm stuck halfway. I'll definitely keep doing all the smaller things I can do in a day, like blogging, podcasting, and making videos, and creating and updating my PDFs. But the big things, like the Kickstarter, hopefully that's still going to happen. If it changes, I'll be sure to put the word out. So that's what's up here at Follow Me and Die. Next episode, I'll return to what is going on in my game with characters. And as always, thank you for listening, and game on. Hello, I'm your host, Larry Hamilton. Welcome to Follow Me and... Damn, lost another one. We have a new position opening for a mercenary here at Follow Me and Die. Applicants are welcome. Follow Me and Die is an old-school RPG podcast. I share my experiences and ideas about role-playing games that all started with the Holmes Blue Box Basic Dungeons & Dragons over 40 years ago. I've played lots of role-playing games that were new in the late 70s through the mid-80s, and some of those I still like to play, especially Dungeons & Dragons. But there's more than older role-playing games out there. I share ideas that will fit into any game or genre. So check out my podcast. I'm always looking for a few good minions.
Better do what Grubba says.
Knows how to wield a sword. Spells arcane and divine. Up on a shield to a wolf. And if you have the time, he's got a mean sales pitch. He even makes it rhyme. And if you need a job, this is his go-to line. Some people wanna die poor. I can't imagine why. They say once you fuck the bomb, there's nothing left to buy. But wanna die rich. Put coins up on both eyes. Then raise up your long sword, follow me and die. Yeah, raise up your long sword.